Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. We got to play that song because it's our next guest jam. And Jay, you know we love our next guest.
Absolutely. He's one of our most interesting guests, and he's constantly entertaining.
Dave Zirin is an American political sports writer. He's also the sports editor for The Nation. You can see him on ESPN. You can read him in The New York Times. You can read him on his website, Edge of Sports. You know him. You love him. And lots going on in the cross worlds of sports and politics. So let's hear what Dave's got to say. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show, Dave. How are you?
Boom. It is great to be here with you guys. Love talking to you. Hope everything is good up there. I feel like right now we're two countries separated by a common language. I mean, we are debating forcible rape and legitimate rape. And is there a difference between legitimate and illegitimate rape in the United States? That is the quality of our political debate right now in this country. Unbelievable. I am living in a very cold, dark place. So all I got to say to you guys, please, offer me a job. I'm serious.
Dave,
I will
anything.
Pack up the family like we're the Partridge Family bus. I will drive up. I will bust through that border like I'm. What was that? Clint Eastwood in The Gauntlet. You know, I will bust through. I mean, it's a sad day here in these United States.
It's easy for us to sit there and I mean that's just one of a million different things that has happened in the States in the last week. But I'll tell you. Things are not that much better here. Maybe on its face, and I know you obviously get a lot less media. We're in the midst of a provincial election here right now, and it is such a farce you would not believe.
You see, that's the day. You're right. It's a big difference. Like, I'm not even sure what a provincial means. So, you know, that's important.
It's a Canadian
there
answer to
state. Gap.
It's our state election, exactly.
You know, it's like when I went up there and people kept trying to serve me this dish, like up in Montreal, that was like all these fries with cheese on it and meat. Yeah, that's right. People were like, "You got to eat this," and I was like, "What is it?" And they said, "Don't ask what it is, just eat it." So I did that again. I came back and I put on 45 pounds, and my heart was in my shoe. But other than that, it was delicious.
That used to be the That was one of the specialties that you could only get a poutine at a Major League Baseball stadium in Montreal. That was sort of our thing was that and something called Beaver Tails, which is like this fried, doughy, cinnamon, sugary mess of a treat.
I'm more Beaver Tail than man at this point.
I was going to say, I don't even see, that's a good example of a difference between the countries. I don't even want to tell you what Beaver Tail means here in the United States. I don't think I can say it over.
We'll have to do that when we're out of prime time, Dave.
Yeah, that's for after dark.
So, you know, we have this idiot. What was his name? Aiken, right?
Yes, Todd Aiken.
And then who we can only imagine will not seek re-election. There has to be a certain point where this is going to just flip around and the Republicans are going to disown him.
A lot of them already have. They're pushing for him to leave. The thing is, it's actually very hard to undo a primary election in the United States. And he really does. He has said this. He believes that his nomination, he's running for Senate against the incumbent Claire McCaskill in Missouri. He believes that it's providential that he was nominated, that God has put him in this position.
Oh, wow.
And from what I hear, his wife makes him look like Gloria Steinem. I mean, she is apparently a lunatic who is out there to such a degree. I think she would bring back the chastity belt in public schools. And she does not want him to step down. So we'll see what happens here.
Well, do you think it was ordained by God that Condoleezza Rice will be the one of the first two female members at Augusta?
Another great example of me wanting to pack up the family and move up to Canada. I mean, the idea that this is viewed as somehow a victory for women's liberation in this country, the fact that Condoleezza Rice, who in any sane world would be at The Hague awaiting trial for war crimes, and this other piece of work, her name is Darla something or other, Darla Moore. She is a multi-billionaire who lives on a plantation that's been in her family for seven generations. And we're supposed to look at these two women and think, wow, they're like the Jackie Robinsons of elite golf club restrict. You know, it's like at some point, it's like your intestines tie up in your vocal cords in a way to try to spin this as anything that has anything to do with the quality of life for millions of American women in this country. Now, I have never played golf at Augusta, but I have been to Augusta, Georgia. In Augusta, Georgia, I bet people imagine Augusta, Georgia. They imagine people drinking mint juleps and saying, "Oh, Belvedere, come here, boy," and things like that. And it's like, it's good to have land. But you go to Augusta, Georgia, there are 33% of Augusta, Georgia lives below the U.S. poverty line, which is already like incredibly low and ridiculous. And it is an incredibly impoverished place that has this golf club in the middle of it, the likes of which, if you go within 100 yards, you're going to get tased. And so I'm supposed to think that somehow the doors have opened up because Condi Mushroom Cloud Rice and Darla Seven Generation Plantation Moore is now gets to swing the clubs in there, because in 2012, their members no longer think that girls have cooties. I mean, you'll forgive me if I'm not here like doing my Billie Jean King dance.
No, this is a very different story than the, you know, looking at the achievements of women, let's say American female athletes at the Olympics bringing home more medals. This isn't something in that sort of, this has nothing to do with Title IX, let's say.
No, but the thing that makes me sad is that there are people who I greatly admire who do work around women's sports who tweeted exactly the opposite of what you just said, who were like, yes, another victory for Title IX. Hmm. And I look at that, and my head spins. My head absolutely spins, because this is not a victory for Title IX. The people who go to Augusta, and frankly the person who Condoleezza Rice used to work for, George W. Bush, tried to destroy Title IX. This is who tries to destroy access for women in the world of sports. So a little bit of tokenism at the margins is not something for me to celebrate. If anything, it only points to how sad it is that these kinds of cloistered, backward, narrow, shadowy kinds of oases of privilege still exist in the United States.
We're just finishing up with Dave Zirin. Got a couple of minutes left. You can follow him on Twitter at Edge of Sports. Do check out his website as well as at thenation.com. Dave, have you read the Paterno book yet?
I have not read the Paterno book. I kind of stopped when I saw a blurb of it, and it said Joe Paterno didn't know what the word sodomy meant when he was reading the free report, which he was forced to read by his family.
Yeah, supposedly he had to ask his son what the definition was.
It's like, hey, what's sodomy? I mean, it reminds me a little bit of like the mobsters who go on trial and they're like, sir, did you steal this truck on May 24th, 1967? And the famous answer is, hey, what's a truck? That's what you say on the witness stand. And so it's like, do you realize that sodomy was in going on right in your locker room? What's sodomy? Hey, I'm just some Joe Paterno from Brooklyn here. And it's like, sir, you went to Brown University. No, I'm from the Bronx. No, sir, you're an English literature major, the great experiment, the intellect, all the things that you've been promoting for years. Hell, your decades of involvement in the Catholic Church, for goodness sakes, should at the very least have taught you what sodomy is.
It's one of their favorite words, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
I mean, was going to say practice.
Seriously, like, now you get involved in the Catholic Church in the U.S., they get you right in the rectory. But seriously.
I feel a Human Centipede reference coming on for some reason.
I see it's the earlier show. I was going to say the only way I was going to applaud Augusta National is if all the members formed a human centipede from the first to the 18th grade. That's the only way I ever want to talk about that place ever again. But to go back to
there'd
Joe
so
Paterno
much poo-stained seersuckers.
I know, right? We heard the seersuckers. But I say they better be careful to not smoke those big cigars there, because Condi Rice will see it and think it's a mushroom cloud and just have everybody bombed.
Oh, goodness.
Now, Dave, famous line, of course.
Let's go from the Secretary of State to the potential future, God forbid, Vice President of the United States of America. Now, this is his favorite band. Pump that up for a second, Steph. These are the Renegades of Funk, Rage Against the Machine. What on earth does Mr. Ryan have in common with Rage Against the Machine, Dave?
Well, as Tom Morello, the lead guitarist, wrote, he said what they have in common is rage. The difference is that Paul Ryan is the machine that they're raging against. And Paul Ryan's rage is, as Tom Morello says, rage against women, rage against minorities. But, you know, I got to be honest, as a longtime Rage Against the Machine fan, there's a very small part of me that's happy that Tom Morello and company have to confront this, because the truth is they have always had a huge fraternity fan base in the United States. There are, I mean, keep in mind, Rage Against the Machine, they're writing about revolution, they're writing about setting fires to the halls of government, and they're selling 5 million, 10 million copies of their records. They're going multi-platinum time and again.
Dane Cook now, fans.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right about that. These are Daniel Tosh fans. it's like you gotta confront that reality at some point, that, you know, it is possible that some people just really love your guitar licks and don't give a
crap what
Jack DeLaRocca is saying.
Yeah.
Which is both sad and scary. On the Kaufman Show, we like to listen to the lyrics, not just hear the music. And we appreciate your time, Dave, as always. And keep on doing what you're doing. We love it.
You should know that I'm sending this interview to the people at Augusta National with the hope that they will invite me to be their newest member of the club.
If it doesn't work out, we'll work on the Canadian passport for you instead.
Or we'll convert to Catholicism.
Oh, and I just saw this on Twitter, Dave. I think you'll be you'll be interested. Aiken will be on Piers Morgan tonight, so that should be really riveting stuff.
Gee, I can't wait to see that. And I'm just glad Joe Paterno is not alive to have to see this horrible debate.
Because wouldn't that just be awful?
These words just wouldn't mean anything to him. He wouldn't know what they meant. What's forcible? What's legitimate? I don't know nothing. I'm just Joe from the Bronx.
No doubt one of Daniel Tosh's favorite bits. Dave Zirin, thank you so much for your time. Check out his stuff at The Nation. Check it out at Edge of Sports and everywhere else where people like to have good opinions spoken.
My privilege, fellas.
Thank you, sir. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be back.